Today's shiur is Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Ches on the base, the first white line, Tan Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanim, Yimei Oil Moed Shebe Midbar, Abom Chasur Achas. The Oil Moed was standing in the Midbar for 39 years. Yimei Oil Moed Shebe Gilgal, the Oil Moed in Gilgal that we've been discussing so much about, was standing for Abba Esrei, for 14 years. Zayin Shekafshu, for 7 years did they capture Eretz Yisrael. The Zayin Shecholkul, and for 7 years they divided Eretz Yisrael. Yimei Oil Moed Shebe Noiv Given. The amount of years that the Oil Moed stood in Noiv Given was Chamishim V'Sheva, 57 years. Actually, the Rishonim teach us that the Oil Moed stood in Noiv for 11 years, and in Given, it stood for 46 years. But they go on to explain, so why does our Braisa group it as one time? Because the halacha that we've been learning were the same during the entire period when the Oil Moed was standing in Noiv Given. Nishtairu l'shiloi. So as Rashi and Rishonim explain, the pasuk clearly indicates that from when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim until the Beis HaMikdash was put up, was erected, was 480 years. So says the Braisa, if we take the 40 and the 14 and the 57 and we deduct it from 480, we are left with Gimel Meis Hashim Chas Rachas. We're left with Mishkan being in Shiloi for 369 years. And the Gemara now begins to drill down and analyze every part of this braisa. Says the Gemara, Yimei Oil Moed Shebe Midbar. The amount of days that the Oil Moed stood in the Midbar was Abom Chasachas for 39 years. Menolon, how do we know that so was the case? Says the Gemara, the Amamar, Shana Rishona, the first year that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, during that year, Osa Moshe is Mishkan. Moshe built the Mishkan, but it wasn't actually put up Shniyah until the second year. Hukan HaMishkan was the Mishkan erected. V'shalach Moshe Meraglim, and that's when Moshe sent the Meraglim. And the need to know that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim in that year will become very apparent in a moment. Continues the Gemara. Shebe Gilgal, the Oil Moed in Gilgal was up for Arba Esrei, for 14 years. Sheva Shekafshu, for 7 years did they conquer Eretz Yisrael, and Sheva and Shecholku, for 7 years did they divide Eretz Yisrael. Menolon, how do we know that that was the case? The Karma Kalev, says, Ben Aboim Shana Anoichi B'Shloich Moshe Ever Hashem, Oisi Mekedesh B'nei L'Ragels Oretz. Kalev reports, Pasuk in Yeshua, that he was 40 years old when he was sent to be one of the Meraglim. And Kalev says about himself, for Oishiv Oisi Dover Shem Levavi. Unlike the majority of Meraglim, he and Yeshua, Kalev speaking about himself, said, I came back and spoke the honest truth. V'ksiv, now the Pasuk says, Hine Anoichi Hayoim, I am today B'chomesh V'shmoinim Shavrim. Today, I'm 85 as we are finishing conquering Eretz Yisrael. Now let's think about it, says the Gemara. If the Gemara said a moment ago that the Meraglim was sent the second year that they were in the Midbar to be Meraglim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara said before, and we all know it from the Chumash, that they were in the Midbar for 40 years, 40 minus 2 equals 38. So, if Kalev was 40 at year 2 in the Midbar, and now when they leave the Midbar 38 years later, he's 78. The Pasuk says, so that's what the Gemara says, Ki Avril Yarden, when they left the Midbar, Bar Kamahava, how old was Kalev, as we just showed, Bar Shivim Matamni, 78, 40 plus 38. The Kamar, and now Kalev, as they're about to finish conquering Eretz Yisrael, says, how old am I today? He says, I'm Ben Chomish V'Shemayim Shonam. I'm 85. So now we have a clear indication that from 78 to 85 is 7. So we have a clear indication, Harei Sheva Shekashu, that it took them 7 years to capture Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, V'Sheva Shechalka Menolam. So fine, we firmly established that it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but from where do we know to take them 7 years to divide it? Answers the Gemara, we learn from a Svara, and the Mefarshim are very disturbed with the Svara, the Tzad Svara. If it took him 7 years to conquer, it must have taken them 7 years to divide. So Mefarshim try to understand, what does one have to do with the other? If it took him 7 years to conquer the land, what does it mean it took him 7 years to divide the land? So the best shot that I saw is as follows. The truth is, why did it take him 7 years to conquer the land? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to conquer Israel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a problem that they could conquer all of the land in a day. In fact, as the Mefarshim go on to say, we know that the first city that they conquered in Eretz Yisrael was Yericho, and they conquered it by saying Goleinu L'Shabeach 7 times. So why would it take 7 years to conquer? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it should take 7 years. So just like he wanted it should take 7 years to conquer, it should take 7 years to divide. But the Gra makes an interesting comment. So now, even though we've had a little difficulty understanding as why, the Gemara is established, and in a moment we'll bring another raya. It took him 7 years to divide the land. So we would assume that if it takes him so long to divide, they will have finished dividing up Eretz Yisrael in those 7 years. Says the Gra, no, that the only two Shvatim that they got their portion in Eretz Yisrael in those 7 years were only Yosef and Yehuda. The rest of Klal Yisrael only got their share in Eretz Yisrael after those 7 years, once the Mishkan Shiloh was erected. I guess it took a while. Which really opens itself up to an interesting question in Halacha. Because how did they divide Eretz Yisrael? They divided Eretz Yisrael through a Goyro. They drew lots. So the Paiskim discuss the concept of a Goyro in Halacha. What is the din? Does a Goyro have validity? If you and I want to divide something, is a Goyro an acceptable means in Halacha of dividing something? So I actually saw in the Paiskim that there are three categories. There's one category, comes up less frequently nowadays, but Apidin, only one person say Kaddish. So let's say there are a number of Chiyuvim to say Kaddish, the number of Avelim in a Shul. So that only each of us should only say one Kaddish. Who decides what, or who should say? It's the Gabbai's prerogative. Gabbai wants to avoid quarreling. He makes a Goyrel. So the halach is, everybody agrees that that girl has validity in halacha. Why? Because they explain that really it's the Gabbai's prerogative to choose who should say what Kaddish. He, because he wants to avoid machlaikis, uses the girl. There the girl is certainly fine. The other situation I saw that the halacha discusses is where people want to try to figure out what the future will be based on the girl. They open up a Chumash, they open up a Gemara, and they want to rely on that to know the future. That certainly is inappropriate. The Pasuk says, Tam Tiyam Hashem Lekecha. It's not the way a Jew lives. The question, however, which many Paiskim can discuss, and it's very much based on the issue we're discussing here now, is relying on a girl to divide. Let's say you and I are partners, and we want to divide up the property. We both want the same. So we rely on a girl. What is the halacha? So certainly we could both agree to rely on a girl. The question is, that the Paiskim discussed, we shouldn't really discuss this, that the halacha is that a gairal, that if you and I enter into a transaction, as we've learned together many times, we have to have a kinyan for the transaction to be valid. Does a gairal become only effective if it's accompanied with a kinyan? Some Rishonim say that no, that just like we see that Eretz Yisrael was divided a pi gairal without a kinyan, so too, a gairal is such a strong form of an agreement of an arbitration that a kinyan is not required. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that a gairal, for it to be considered halakhically valid, requires a kinyan. What about Eretz Yisrael that was divided up, he gairal? So the Farshim say that you can't bring a raya from the chalukah of Eretz Yisrael, because we had the Urim V'tumim. When the Urva Tumim is ratifying what you're doing, then you don't need a Kenyan. When you and I are relying on a Gaira, we need a Kenyan. That's one pshat that the Mefarshim say. Another pshat they say is that the Rosh maybe holds that there was a Kenyan there also. Who says there was no Kenyan in the time of Yeshua? That all the Shvatim amongst themselves made a Kenyan, that were going to rely on the Gairal. But without a Kenyan, maybe it wouldn't have worked then either. That's one answer that the Gemara gives, that it took him 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. Vibay Seyma, another explanation. This requires a little explaining. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel that Yecheskel has a Nevuah. And the Pasuk says, a difficult Pasuk to understand, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the 10th day of Tishrei, which is the 10th day of Tishrei, 14 years after the Korban. And the Pasuk is a very difficult Pasuk, because Rosh Hashanah is not 10 days in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So what does it mean? It was Rosh Hashanah because it was Yovel. It was a Yovel year. And Yovel, we know, you begin counting, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says, from Yom Kippur. But what do we see from that Pasuk? We see from that Pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 36 years into a Yovel year. 36 years into a Yovel year. Because if 14 years later is already a new Yovel, that means the Beis HaMikdash must have been destroyed 14 years. Which is very difficult to understand. Because we quoted a pasuk earlier that from when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim until the Beis HaMikdash was put up was 480 years. So take off 40 years that they were in the Midbar. It's 440. How long did the first Beis HaMikdash stand? 410 years. It's 850. So it stood 850 years. 850 is exactly divisible by 50, 17. If you divide 850 by 50, you end up with 17. So according to our calculation, it should have been not, the Beis HaMikdash should have been destroyed in a Yovel year. But we clearly see from that Pasuk, it was destroyed 36 years into the Yovel cycle. What's the answer? The first 14 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't yet settled. They were conquering and dividing the land. So we only start the count 14 years after they get into Eretz Yisrael. Deduct 814 from 850, deduct those 14 years, and it comes out perfect that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 36th year. But what does that require us to say? That it took 14 years until they started the count. If we proved a moment ago that it took 7 years to conquer, how do I get 14? I must have 7 years for the division. That's the cheshbon. We learned further at the beginning of our shir that the oil march of Benoiv were given stood for Chamish V'Sheva, for 57 years. Ask the Gemara Manolan, how do we know? Because the Pasuk says that the Mishkan was standing in Shiloh. V'hi kaskirais Aron Elkim. The Aron was captured by the Plishtim. And when they tell Eli, who was at that point the Kohen Gadol, of the horrible news, he was sitting in a chair, he falls back and he dies. And the Pasuk, and at that point it was destroyed. And as Mefarshim explained, the Mishkan Shiloh wasn't actually destroyed, as we know, like the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Mishkan Shiloh, because the Aron was taken away, it just, so to speak, fell apart. V'tana, Kishimeis Eli HaKoyin, Chor V'Shiloh, that's when Shiloh was destroyed, it just fell apart. U'bol Noiv, when they came to Noiv. Kishimeis Shmuel HaRamasi, and when Shmuel HaRamasi passes away, Chor V'Noiv, Noiv falls apart, U'bol HaGivon. V'Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, V'hi miyoyim shevis arm keres ya'arim. As I said, at the end of the period of the Mishkan Shiloh, the Aron was captured by the Pelishtim, but they right away, it affected them in a very serious manner. The Pasuk says, they all got sick, etc. So they right away sent it back, but they didn't bring the Aron back to the Mishkan. The Pasuk says that the Aron was in Kiryas Ya'arim. The Aron was there for 20 years, and Klai Yisrael followed Hashem. Hani Esrim Shana, if we identify these first 20 years, how do we look at those 20 years? Esrim Shana, the first 10 years of that 20-year period, were the years Shemol Shmuel Be'atzmai, that Shmuel led Klal Yisrael by himself. He wasn't actually the Melech, he was the Shaifet, but he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Then there was the year Shemalach, Shmuel, v'Shaul. Shmuel and Shmuel coexisted because Shmuel was the one that chose Shaul, and Shaul, the first year, followed Shmuel's leadership. The Shtayim, that we recall the episode, where Shaul went to war with Amalek, and instead of killing the king of Amalek, he spared him, and Shmuel just left him. The Farshim say he didn't necessarily die, but he separated himself. Those 2 years, Shemalach Shaul, Shaul was king himself. The Shevet the David, then there were 7 years that David was Melech in Chevron. V'ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yomash Shemalach David Yisrael, Mem Shana. David was a king for 40 years. For the first 7 years, B'chevron Melech Zayin Shana, for the first 7 years he was king in Chevron. And then for the other 33 years, he was in Yerushalayim. So if we make the Cheshbon, it follows as follows. We have the 20 years established between 10 years of Shmuel. 1 year of Shaul and Shmuel is 11. 2 more years of Shaul himself is 13. 7 years of David and Chevron is the 20 years that the Gemara identified. David HaMelech was king for a total of 40. We've already counted 7, so we're left with 33. 20 plus 33 equal 53. Ubishleim Ksiv, and by Shleim HaMelech it says, V'yachal of Noisoi, Shleim HaMelech begins building the base of Migdash, and as soon as he built, he was successful in building it quickly. Bishnas Abel Mechusoi, 53 plus 4 equal 57. So, if we take everything that we learned in today's Shir, that we say there were 480 years from when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, until the Beis HaMikdash was put up, was erected, and we have 40 years in the Midbar, and 14 years in Gilgal, and 57 years of Noiv HaGivon, Nishtayru, if you do the math, you'll be left L'Shiloi, standing for Shlosh Meis, for Shimon Chasar Achad, it's 369 years. So we learned Baal of Noiv HaGivon. The Pasuk says that once they came to Noiv HaGivon, the Baal must became Mutter. Menani Mili. From where do we know this? Ask the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Kilei Basem at Ata El Menucha Vela Nachla. El Menucha refers to Shiloh. Nachla refers to Yerushalayim. Why is Shiloh, according to this Pshat? We're going to see many other Pshat in our Shia today. According to this Pshat, why is Shiloh called Menucha and why is Yerushalayim called Nachla? So, the Mepharshim explained a very simple pshat. Let's say somebody's taking a trip and he's going to a destination. But it's a long trip, so he can't just travel straight. So comes at night, he stops off in a hotel. So that's called a menucha, he stopped to rest. When he gets to his destination, it's called nachla, because that's where he wanted to ultimately get to. Shiloh was only a stop on the way to our ultimate goal of getting to Yerushalayim. Another pshat that I saw, from the Avos Yoinasan, he says that the reason Yerushalayim is called Nachla is from the word Nachal, a river. Just like we know that what is always the example of something that's not Mekabel Tuma, a river. So too, somebody who's buried in Yerushalayim has a kapara. And that's the reason people want to be buried in Yerushalayim. Furthermore, the Paiskim discuss, as we see in our Gemara, according to the Pshat that we just said, that Yerushalayim has the highest level of Kedusha. So I saw the Paiskin that suggests that just like there's an Isser, Me'ikar Hadin, to leave Eretz Yisrael, unless there's a good reason, there are people that are Machmer not to leave Yerushalayim. Because we see that Yerushalayim is the highest level of Kedusha. There's a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that when it comes for people collecting tzedakah, people who live in Yerushalayim have Kedima. There's only one thing. When the Chasam Sofer speaks about Yerushalayim, he speaks about the old city. He doesn't speak about all of Yerushalayim. But Yerushalmi is maybe a machmer. Lama chilkam, says the Gemara, why did the Torah why does the Pasuk separate Menucha from Nachla, Shiloh from Yerushalayim? Kedein Leitin had to be in Zelazet to teach us that once the Bama, first the Bama was Mutter in the time of Shilei, the Bamos became Aser. Then when it was destroyed, the period of Noiva Given that we just spoke about, Bamos became Mutter again. And then once Yerushalayim came up, Bamos became Aser. Ask the Mefarshim, the Gemara is assuming, as a Dava Pashit, that when it was in Shilei, the Bamos were Mutter, were Aser, and afterwards became Mutter. Why? So it goes back to something that we've discussed many times. Because in Shilei, the Aron was firmly established. And where the Aron is firmly established, the halacha is that Bamos are Aser. After Shilei was no longer, so the Aron wasn't in a firm place, that's why Bamos became Mutter again. Once Beis HaMikdash was built, so we have the concept that we've discussed many times, Kitchel L'Shata, Kitchel L'Aser Lavai, that Kedusha remains forever. Ask the Gemara, and there are many different ways of learning this Gemara. Omlei Rish Lakish Leb Yochanan, Maisa Sheni, Nami Lisni. Why does, ask the Gemara, why doesn't our Mishnah also discuss what is the halacha by Maisa Sheni during the period of Noiva Given? We know what halacha is, that Maisa Sheni may be only eaten in Yerushalayim. What would be the halacha by Maisa Sheni during the period of Noiva Given? Amar Lei, to which he responds, Maisa Sham Shami Aaron Koyalfi. We learned the halacha of Maisa from the halacha of Aaron. Kivin the Aaron Loi Hava. If there's no Aaron, Maisa Nami Loi Havoi. There's no halacha that the Maisa could only be eaten only by Noiva Given, because there was no Aaron. And the halacha of Maisa travels together with the halacha of the Aaron. So sort of a first mask of Gevalda Gakasha. We know that the Gemara says that during the time of Bayis Sheni, the Aron wasn't there either. Certainly during the 420 years that the Bayis Sheni stood, they ate Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. But if we're learning now that that depends on the Aron, how could they eat it? There was no Aron in the base of Migdash Sheni. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that when there's no Aron in the world, so there's no Aron in the world. In the time of Noiva Given, there was an Aron. It just wasn't, as we learned earlier in the Shir, it just wasn't a Noiva Given. It was in Kiryas Yearim or in other places. So then, if there is an Aron in the world, just it's not in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, then you don't eat Maisa there. That's one pshat. Another pshat is based on the famous Rambam. The Rambam says that the Aron is in the Beis HaMikdash compound. It's just buried deep underground that nobody should be able to get it. So the Aron is there. That's why in the time of Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they ate Maiser in Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the Aron being there is what makes the difference, Hihachi Pesen V'Kotchim Nami, and there are many different pshatim how to understand this Gemara. One pshat is, three pshatim I saw, one pshat is that the halacha ought to be that you can't be makriv Korban Pesach b'Noiva Given because you don't have an Aron. Another pshat is that the halacha should be that you should be able to eat the Korban Pesach everywhere, not specifically Noiva Given. And a third pshat is that I saw in the Gemara in the first one suggesting that maybe you should even be able to be makriv the Pesach everywhere. And we clearly learned yesterday that the Pesach is a chayv, chayv et sibur, hakvulam zman, that could only be brought on the Bar Masibur. Answers the Gemara. Pesach v'kotchim nami v'sham shami aron yalfi. The kivin the aron lohavi. We should suggest, since there was no aron by Noiva Given, imin nami lohavi, they shouldn't be either. Amalach t'amalach hamani Rav Shimon hi. Our b'raisa follows the opinion of Shimon. Da'ama af tzibur lo kriva ela pesach v'chavis hakvul abzman. That the tzibur brought and the bamas tzibur, only the Pesach v'chavis kavul zman, which is not only the opinion of Rav Shimon, it's actually the opinion of the Chachamim and Rav Meir as well. Av v'chavis elam kavul zman, hacha v'hacha loikarev. So we're back to our question. Here we're saying that where there is no Aron, there are no Kachim, so how is the Pesach we learned yesterday brought in Noiva Given? So the Gemara gives a different teretz. And again, I'm reading a lot of words into the Gemara. This is the Girsa of Rashi in the Gemara. Tosfos has a different Girsa. Answers the Gemara, we learn a whole different way. Maisa Behemus, let's think about Maisa Behemus. Maisa Behemus is a Chayva, Shein Kavulam Zman. There is no specific time you have to bring Maisa. V'iskish, and the Torah compares Maisa Dogen to Maisa Behema. And therefore, since there was no Maisa Behema, there was no Maisa Dogen either in Noiva Given. So let's just stop and think about this. Because there was no Maisa Behema by Noiva Given, why was there no Maisa Behema by Noiva Given? Because there was no, it was Chayiv Shein Kavulam Zman, there is no Maisa Dogen either in Noiva Given, but there is Maisa Dogen in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. The way most Rishonim learn, very interesting pshat, that Maisa Dogen, they had in all areas of Eretz Yisrael, besides Noiva Given. Because Noiva Given had this deficiency, this is where the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz learns the Gemara, had this deficiency that it was missing the Aron, it was excluded from being able to eat Maisa there, everywhere else did. But what is the basis of our limud now? That we're learning the halacha Maisa Dogon from Maisa Behema. Since there was no Maisa Behema by Noiva Given, there was no Maisa Dogon either. But ask the Gemara, Michlal, to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in our previous year, holds that as long as it's carbon chayva, even if it's not kvulam zman, the halacha is that you bring the carbon. So that means there was Maisa Behema. Michlal, Rabbi Yehuda, curve. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Dogen, Maisa Sheni ought to also be benoiva given. Answers the Gemara. Indeed. Domer of Adabar Masna, Maisa Sheni, Maisa Behema, Necholim benoiva given with the Rabbi Yehuda. Indeed, says the Gemara, that Maisa Behema, that in the time that the Mishkan was standing in Noiva Given, the Maisa Sheni was eaten strictly by Noiva Given. The Rishonim debate, what does it mean that they ate it in Noiva Given? Noiva Given, we discussed many times. The usual halacha when we speak about Maisa Sheni is that Maisa Sheni can be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Noiva Given didn't have any walls around Noiva Given. So where did they eat the Maisa Sheni? So they saw two opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion is they ate it in the cities of Noiva Given, which is a difficult opinion to understand because if it doesn't have a wall, it's hard to identify a border. So others say that the din that we learned yesterday, that by Shiloh there's a din of B'chol HaRoya, that anywhere you could see Shiloh from, you could eat Kachim, Kalim, the same halacha applies to Maisa Sheni, that wherever you could see the Mishkan of Noiva Given, they were allowed to eat, they were allowed to eat the Maisa Sheni. But ask the Gemara, Vabari Bira, but don't you need a Bira? You have to have a base of Migdosh. How do you have a Bira to be able to eat the Maisa Sheni? V'lav, answers the Gemara, V'lav Tana Rabbi Yosef Sholosh Bira, saying that there are three places that are called a Bira, Shilav and Nova given base of Laman. Hu Tana Law, Vu Amalaw, L'chilas Maisa Sheni. What does it mean it had a Bira? That Nova given is considered a Bira, the Leva of Rabbi Yehuda. Interesting, Machloikas Rishainim. According to the man, the Omer, that says that in Shar Orei Yisrael, that in the time that Noiva Given was standing, Maisa Sheni was, since it's compared to Maisa Behema, was eaten all throughout Eretz Yisrael, what was the status of Bikurim during that time? Some Rishonim say there was no Bikurim by Noiva Given. Other Rishonim suggest that Bikurim had the same halacha as Maisa Sheni. And the third opinion is that even though this opinion holds that Maisa Sheni was eaten throughout Eretz Yisrael, Bikurim, which is a higher level of Kedusha, were brought to the Mishkan and Noiva Given and eaten there. Paul Yerushalayim, then we learned that once they arrived in Yerushalayim, Bamas became Osir forever. Tanah Bonim, the Pasuk says, we quoted the Pasuk earlier, Kilei Basa Ma'ata El Menucha V'Menachla. Menucha, this is the Pshat that we quoted earlier, Zushiloi Nachla Zushalayim. Vaymer, and the Pasuk indeed says, regarding Yerushalayim, this man, the Amr, backs up his opinion, Haithli Nachlasai Kariya Biyar. My Nachla Yerushalayim is like a lion in the forest. Vaymer, and the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyah Ayat Savua, Nachlasai Ayat Savavala, Divar Yehuda. My Nachla is surrounded by praying birds. So I saw a Gevalda Gevard from the Pnei Menachem. The Pnei Menachem says, and the Gemara doesn't even ask this question. Why do you need two psukim to prove Yerushalayim is a Nachla? And why does the Gemara choose these psukim specifically? So he says, what do both of these psukim speak about? They speak about Yerushalayim not being on the best situation. It's referring like a lion. It's surrounded by enemies. Teaches us the Gemara that even when Yerushalayim is in a bad shape, when it's surrounded by enemies, that doesn't touch the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim always remains the highest level Kedusha. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, learns, Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Ushilai. And I saw a very nice pshat. So they're arguing if the word Nachla could be applied to Yerushalayim. What is the Machloikis about? We've learned there's a Machloikis if Yerushalayim Nischalka L'Shvatim. Was Yerushalayim divided up among Shvatim? The Mandalma that uses the words Nachla, that uses the word Nachla for Yerushalayim, says Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim. So the word Nachla, an inheritance, is appropriate. This Mandalma obviously is of the opinion that Yerushalayim lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. So using the word Nachla in Yerushalayim is just inappropriate. So that's why he says, Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Ushilay. And he proves his point, because the Pasuk says, regarding Yerushalayim, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Zois Menuchasi Ad, they add, Pai Eshav Kivisiyah, this is the city I've chosen, Vaymer, and the Pasuk, actually it's a Pasuk before the previous Pasuk, Kibach Hashem Tzion, Evil Amashav Law. So right now we have so far two opinions. One man Dhamma says, Menucha is Shiloi Nachla Yerushalayim, and the other man Dhamma holds just the opposite. Nachla, Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachla is Shiloi. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Bishlam l'man d'amah Menucha is Shiloi. So the Pasuk is very understandable. Hanu d'ksiv ala Menucha v'la Nachla. First we came to Shiloi, and after Shiloi there was Yerushalayim. However, ask the Gemara, el l'man d'amah Menucha is Yerushalayim. Nachla is Shiloi. It's in the wrong order. It should have said, al Menachla Menucha v'bayilei. First they came to Shiloi, and then they only came to Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Hachi kamala. What the way to understand the pasuk is as follows: Loi mi bai menucha. Certainly, that you haven't arrived to menucha. Loi matisa. Al filo menachla. Moshe Rabbeinu says, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, you should know that you certainly haven't arrived to the ultimate goal, which is menucha, which is Yerushalayim. But you should know that you haven't even gotten yet to nachla, to Shiloi. These are 14 years that you're still not settled. But now the Gemara quotes a third opinion in this pasuk of Al Menucha Menachla. Tana de Berei Shmo, Zuvazu Shiloi. Both Menachla and Menucha Nachla refer to Shiloi. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, fourth opinion, final opinion, that Menucha Menachla both refer to Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandam Menucha Zu Shiloi, Nachla Zu Yerushalayim. That's the most understandable pshat. Inami Ipcha. Even if we learn the other way around, Hanu d'ksiv, ela menucha v'al menachla. Because if we say menucha means Yerushalayim, and nachla means Shiloi, we could understand why the Torah uses the words ela menucha v'ela nachla. Because the Torah separates it, because it's talking about two different cities. One is Yerushalayim, one is Shiloi. However, ask the Gemara, ela mandama zuvazu Shiloi. According to the third opinion, opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that both of the Menucha and Nachla refer to Shiloi. Or, according to the opinion of Tanna Berei Yishmael, that Zuvazu Yerushalayim, so why does the Pasuk say, El HaMenucha V'El HaNachla? What the Torah should have said, Menucha Nachla Mibaylei. They shouldn't have to say the word El twice. And the Gemara indeed says Kasha. The Gemara remains with this question. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam L'mandama Zuvazu Shiloi. According to the Mandama, according to Yishim Menichoi, that says that both the word menucha and the word nachla means Shiloi, we could understand the pasuk. Menucha, why is Shiloi called menucha? The Nochum Kibush. Because when they got to Shiloi, they were no longer busy fighting, conquering Eretz Yisrael. Nachla, the Pogah Hasam Nachla, goes back to a verse I said at the beginning of the year. Even when they were at Shiloi, they were still dividing up Eretz Yisrael. Because I quoted the Gra earlier in the year, that only Shevet Yehuda and Yosef got their share in Eretz Yisrael prior to getting to Mishkan Shiloi. Everybody else waited for Shiloi. So that's why the word Nachla is appropriate, because they were dividing up Eretz Yisrael in Shiloi. As the Pasuk indeed in Yeshua says, Diksiv Yecholaklam Yeshua, V'yapalem Garel B'Shiloi Al Pi Hashem. However, ask the Gemara, L'mandam Zuv Yerushalayim, that both the word Menucha and Nachla refer to Yerushalayim, Bishlam and Nachla, to use the word Nachla and Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is the Nachla Salamim, it's our internal, eternal city. El Menucha, My menucha, what is the menucha of Yerushalayim? Says the Gemara, menuchas aron. Once the aron came to Yerushalayim, especially if we quote the Rambam that we said earlier, that's where it remained forever. The ksiv, v'hi kenoich aron. The aron remained in Yerushalayim forever. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam l'manda mezuzu Yerushalayim. They're both Yerushalayim. Avash shiloi, havash shar yagot bamis. So according to this, let's understand. The pasuk says, "Kloy basim al ato al menucha v'nachla." The Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that we get to menucha v'nachla, and according to this opinion, the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that it's Yerushalayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that when we get to Yerushalayim, then bamis will become asur. Up to getting to Yerushalayim, including the time that we will at Shiloh, bamis will mutter. So we can understand the pasuk, "Hayin deksiv." V'yikach menoyach eskediya izim, v'esa mincha, v'yala atzol Hashem. Menoyach lived in the time of Mishkan Shiloh, yet we find them bringing carbon on a bama. Why? Because according to this mandama, which is Reb Shim ben Yochai, until they got to Yerushalayim, bamas were mutter. But the Mefarshim asked a gevaldig kasha. We had a major discussion, a machloikus tanoim in the Mishnah that we discussed just yesterday. If carbon mincha is mutter on a bama. And there's an opinion that says that carbon mincha is also on a bama. So even if we'll say that bamas were mutter in the time of Shiloh, and that's why Menoyach brought, was able to bring a carbon on the bama, then how did the pasuk say that he brought the carbon mincha? How does he, carbon mincha is also on a bama? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, as we're going to learn in a moment, that it was a Rosh Shah. So even this opinion is going to agree that there was somewhat of a Rosh Shah. The Rosh Shah was on the Mincha. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. We actually mentioned it in our previous year. Even the man, the Amma that holds that a carbon Mincha, this is a Hagdama to Masech, the Menachos, even the man, the Amma that holds that a carbon Mincha may not be brought on the Bama, what kind of Mincha are we discussing? A Minchas Chayva, somebody has to bring a carbon Mincha. A Minchas Nadava, somebody donated a carbon Mincha. But the Minchas Nesachim, the Mincha you bring along with a carbon, everybody agrees you could bring on the Bama. It's not a pasuk, it's very geschmack. The mincha the pasuk is talking about is not an independent carbon mincha, which may not be brought on a Bama. It's the minchas nesachim that came along with this carbon that may be brought on the Bama. But ask the Gemara, El leman bama v'zu v'zu shiloi. That the pasuk, when it says menuch v'nachl, is talking about shiloi. And already at the time of shiloi, bamas have a siren, bamas were already prohibited. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand the pasuk of Yikach Menoyach? The Menoyach brought a carbon on a bama. Answer the Gemara, that man bama is going to have to hold. He got a special dispensation. Says the Gemara, Tana, the Beir Yishmol, but the Gemara quotes that ultimately in the Yeshiva of Yishmol, they agreed that they originally learned Menuch V'Nachla means Shiloi. They ultimately agreed with Rav Shim Ben Yochai, that says Menuch V'Nachla is Yerushalayim, the Simonach, to remember who agreed to whom, Mashach Gavri L'Gavri. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. Rav Shim Ben Yochai is one individual, right? Rav Yishmol was the Tana Beir Yishmol. You have a whole yeshiva. Mashach Gavri, the one individual, was able to convince the many people learning in the yeshiva that his opinion was right. But Taisus has the girsa just the opposite. Mashach Gavri L'Gavra. Same pshat. Why? Because when Rav Shim Ben Yochai's name is mentioned, it's not just his name is mentioned. His name, Ben Yochai, and his father's name. When Rav Yishmol's name is mentioned, only his name is mentioned, not his father. Mashach Gavri, the individual who's mentioned with two names, his name and his father's name, was able to convince the Gavra, Rav Yishmol, who's mentioned with his name alone. So we learned further, a nafgamina, if you made the kachim b'shas heter bamas and you bring b'shas sisa bamas or vice versa. Amrav kahana loy shanal b'shchita. That if you were magdish behema b'shas heter bamas and you were makarit b'shas sisa bamas, there is no chiv karis. Av b'halo, if you were magdish behema b'shas sisa bamas and you were makarit b'shas sisa bamas, karis nam mechayiv. My tamid amakro. Valeim timer, ala smuchim timer. The pasuk there speaks about this case, and the Torah says that it's a chiv karis. Why? is the Torah more lenient by Shechita than by Halah? Mepharshim explain a fairly simple pshat. Shechita is not an act which is limited strictly to Kodshim. If we want to eat a behemoth, we have to shecht it. Halah is a maisa which is strictly limited to Kabbonis. So that's why the Torah is stricter regarding Halah than it is regarding Shechita. However, ask the Gemara, Maskler of Rava, we had this Gemara before in Daf Kuf Zayin, Miksiv Aleim Taimer, Aleim Ksiv. There are two words in the Torah that are pronounced the same way, but they're not spelled the same way, and they mean different things. There's Aleim with an Ayin, and Aleim with an Aleph. Aleim with Ayin means I'm speaking to people, to them. Aleim means I'm speaking about a subject. Says the Gemara, where the Torah spelled this word Aleim with an Aleph? So the pshat that we just learned is very gishmak. The subject that we just discussed, that means you were magdish behema b'shas hetabamas, and you're being makrivit b'shas isabamas, aleim, regarding this subject, there is a chi of karas. But the Torah doesn't spell the aleim with an aleph. The Torah spells the aleim with an ayin. So we're talking to Klai, so we're not talking to Anna about a subject. V'oid, Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Abba klolos hayav Shimon Omer, the kachim. Rav Shimon said four rules. Hikdisham b'shas isra bamas. If someone is magdash behemi when bamas are prohibited, the shochet behel b'shas isra bamas b'chutz, and he shechted or he was mala b'shas isra bamas, harei b'loy sasei b'yesh ben koris. So here it says that shechita and halah have koris. Hikdisham b'shas heter bamas, but if you magdash it b'shas heter bamas, the shochet behel b'shas isra bamas, harei hein b'esei b'loy sasei v'ein ben koris. So how do you say that there's a chi of karis? Here it says clearly, ein bam karis. And the Gemara continues with the braisa. Higdishon b'shas heter bamas. If you magdish them, higdish b'shas is bamas. V'shach v'hel b'chutz, b'shas heter bamas, hareyim b'esei. Since you were magdish b'shas is a bamas, you only have an esei, ein bam b'lois esei, and certainly no karis. Higdish b'shas heter bamas. If you were magdish b'shas heter bamas, the shock at the hell of b'shas heter bamas, and you brought up the carbon b'shas heter bamas, potem miklum. So I sort of first ask a gvaldig kasha. What does potem miklum indicate? You did something wrong, but you potter. But if you were magdish behem b'shas heter bamas, and you were makrovit b'shas heter bamas, you didn't do anything wrong. So why does Bryce use the word potter? The Bryce should say it's perfectly fine. The word potter seems to indicate you did something wrong, but you potter. Why are you potter? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, and we're going to discuss this more tomorrow shir, if you magdish a behema with the intention that it should be brought on a bamas tzibur, you have to bring it on a bamas tzibur. And that's what the Brice is saying. You were magdish to bring it on a bamas tzibur, but you didn't. You brought it on your bamas yachid. You did the wrong thing, but there is no essay or lois essay involved. Another pshat, again, will be more appreciated in tomorrow shir. The Velezer suggests that if you magdish a behema and you brought it into the vicinity of a bamas tzibur, you can't take it out anymore to the bamas yachid. And that, if you did that, you did the wrong thing, but you're not chayiv. But back to our question. Rav Kahana said that if you magdish b'shas het the bamas, and you makri b'shas is a bamas is a chayiv karis, here it says it's only an essay, lois say, says the Gemara, indeed, tiyufta Rav Kahana tiyufta. He's refuted.